As we open our prayer time, by that I mean prayer, we're going to go and listen to God. What's prayer? Talking to God and listening to Him. We're going to listen to God, and so we have a little more intelligence at that moment to talk to God about what He has written about, so we can be very communicating with Him. We can be in the same page with Him. We're going to see it. Here we are. Now, so Genesis. Genesis in chapter 4. And in our exercise of the book of Jeremiah, and in Jeremiah, if you might, and chapter 50 and 51. There are two chapters that are tied together. One, all about Babylon. So if you want to go in the Bible, a place, there's places for each thing sometime. And the place, a place to go for Babylon would be the book of Jeremiah. I think it's 164 times Babylon's mentioned. And in the process, chapter 50 and 51, that's one long section biblically about Babylon. So, in order to capitalize on that and to get the benefit, I thought it might be helpful just to refresh your memory about Babylon. So, therefore, in Genesis in chapter 4, we have Adam and Eve, and we have Adam and Cain, and in the process, Adam and Cain. They all fit, they're all in the same tribe. So we have in Genesis chapter 3 and chapter 4 now, we have Abel and Cain. Cain and Abel. And in the process, they're very, very conscious of God personally, present, and an understanding, because Eve and Adam are very, very, very freshly, wonderfully saved and are thankful to God, I'm sure. So, but Cain was not happy with Abel. Abel was going to follow Adam, his mother and father. Abel pointed to God, and Abel looked to God and honored God, chapter 4, by sacrifice. Cain did not do that. So Cain went and slit his throat and got rid of any problem of seeing that again. Now, having said that, judgment was there. And so, in chapter 4, and picking up in verse 12, I'll even read verse 11, a little context. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Just the very thought, my guilt, my sin, my suffering, all that you have, all that I face, all that I see, I'm going to have to bear it and carry it. It's an awful heavy load to lift. And Cain has just said, my sin is heavier than I want to carry. And to be a fugitive and a vagabond, the earth, I can't find a home on planet Earth. There's no place on planet Earth for me. Now, verse 4, But thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me, because they're going to see I'm an alien. I'm not going to be like my brother Abel. I'm not going to be like that. And you'll all know I'm not like that, because I'm going to be different in the wrong way. So therefore, verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever shall slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any time any finding him should kill him. And so, Cain, you're safe. No one's going to kill you. Sliding along. Now, what did Cain do? Cain did not want to be a fugitive. He did not want to have no home. He didn't want to bear that. In other words, earth was made for Adam and Eve and for believers to enjoy God. Here's Cain, and Cain is outside the fellowship of God. He's an unsaved man. And so instead of being a vagabond and a fugitive, he did the very opposite. Instead of having to move, because no place would be his home. So instead of having to have to do that, you know, verse 17, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city, and he called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. Now, and remember when we did this years ago, 100 years ago, when we did all this, the building a city, it isn't a finished city, participle. It's never finished. He's building a city, and he has to keep building it, because the city is in place of God's. I'm trying to do something. I don't want to be a fugitive. I don't want to be a vagabond. I don't want to do that. And I'm going to stay put. I'm not going to do what you told me, God. It would have helped him if he did that, but he didn't. Now, so he built a city. He is building a city. So as you read the rest of chapter 4, he's building a city. And all the humans coming in are what? They're all adding. Everyone, remember, the sin is just taking hold. Sin has just got a small grip on the heart, as it were, comparatively. So they had all kinds of ability right off. And they went, as you know, in the process, in verse 22, and Silashi also bare Tubal-Cain, and instructor of every artifice of brass, in brass and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamath. And so Lamech, and they all did. They had all kinds of ability. They could take iron. How do you know about iron? You just got out iron. They got everything. The city is what? To bring everybody together, to compensate, and to keep it in order, so that we all help each other, we all add everything. If everyone grows tomatoes in the state of the United States, what are you going to do if all you have is tomatoes? Don't you have to have something more in these United States than tomatoes? Sure you do. You have all kinds of things in all kinds of ways, and that's what makes it comfortable to a city. If you're Davy Crockett out there or something, you don't have all of those advantages. The city provides, so you don't need to trust God out there, Davy Crockett. You need, in the city, we don't need to trust God. We got everything in one way or another by the cities. So, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, how is that going to help us? Because Cain understood it isn't wandering around. It isn't a vagabond and a fugitive. No, we've got to stay together and help each other in the light of the fact that God isn't helping us. So God won't help us, so we'll help ourselves. Now, having that little bit in mind, background, oneness, over to chapter 6. And in chapter 6, you recall in the days of Noah and the Genesis flood, what preceded that? Verse 5, 6, 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart, of his heart, was only evil continually. He had no plans of repenting. He just is going to do bad and bad and bad. There are just one city. Now we got everybody in the same place, same language, everything. And we don't have religion yet. And we don't have politics yet. But we're all taking care of each other. And God doing what he's doing. He's helping Noah build an ark. That's what he's doing. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, all oneness, oneness, oneness. Over to chapter 11. As you know, chapter 11. And picking up, if I can, I'll get you, wait, I'll read it, you need it. Verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. What does that give you? The advantage of unity, oneness, working together. You all speak the same thing. You're all on the same page. We're all where we are. So we can work together. If you have, hang on, that's what they have now. So therefore, and in verse 2, it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they formed a plain up in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Now that's in southern Mesopotamia. Just think of it. Here's the Persian Gulf. Here's the Persian Gulf. And then we come out of the Persian Gulf going north, and we have the Euphrates and the Tigris River going up like this into Iran, up into there, Persia. Going up now, and there, southern Mesopotamia, right there. Now, and so that's where they are, in the land of Shinar. And that's the area of Shinar. And they said one to another, go to now, let us make a brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and the slime had they had for mortar. And they said, come, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, make us a name, lest we be, what's the problem? Scattered, fugitive, vagabond. We don't want that to happen. Don't want that to happen. We have to stay in unity, oneness. Have to have that. That's our power. Hang on. Now, so in verse 4 again, the middle end of the verse, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. We don't want that to happen. So, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, religion and politics, which the children of men had builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. And they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. If I don't step in it, they're going to go and get, just like in the days of the Genesis flood, their heart is going to get evil and bad and hard, and it won't ever be fixed. And since I'm not going to let the flood happen again, I always heard all that, why that was. A few reasons why not. Why was the flood going to happen again? Now, so in the process, it bad can get very, very bad. If we can do this, this oneness, we don't want to be scattered. Therefore, sliding down, verse 7. Go to, let us now go down, and there continue, confound their language. The reason, that they may understand one another, they may not understand one another's speech. I'm going to make it so you can't work together. I'm going to make it so you won't. It'll be terrible trying to do what you're trying to do. You want to have this tower and all worship it, and the city politics. I'm going to make it so you can't do that, said God, in my grace, in my mercy. Verse 8, so the Lord scattered them. What do you know about scattered? They don't want to be scattered. They'd do anything under the sun not to be scattered. But they're going to be scattered. God's going to do it. Obviously, he's going to do it. No one else could do it. And the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth. And they left off, to build the city because it wasn't practical. The thing was such a mess, everyone was all over the place. Different kind of foreman spoke different languages to different kind of foreman, and they didn't know who's the foreman and who do you listen to. See, you can see the confusion. Wow. Now, so therefore, in verse 8, and the Lord scattered them abroad and thence upon the face of the earth, all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, the name of it is called Babel. Babel. That city, that attitude, that objective. We don't want to be scattered. We need to be oneness. Now, therefore, the name of it was called Babel because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. And they all went. That's when you have God sending them all over the world. And everything changed. Face, language, territory, climate, all went all over the place, and everyone was fit for whatever. Now, how are you going to put that together all of a sudden? How are you going to ever fix that? We're going to be one flesh. Let's see you do it now. Let's see you do it. Because the people over on this side, are not in agreement with the people on this side, so their city is different than your city, and their religion is different than your religion, and we're doing what we're doing, and we have wars and rumors of wars. It's awful hard to get together about things. So therefore, in the light of that, God, you did it. You scattered them. Chronologically, Genesis chapter 10 follows 11. And over to Genesis. Well, before you do that, look at chapter 11 again. Two things. Where are they? 11, Genesis 11, 2. They're in the land of Shinar, which I just tried to explain. And they are being scattered. Over to chapter 10, you have the 70 70 of them are described. Descendants are described. So I'm going to skip right over for time's sake and over to chapter 8. Genesis chapter 10, verse 8. 10:8. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth, a leader, a hunter. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And what about Nimrod? In the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. That's what the Tower of Babel, the tower, that's Genesis 11. You're following the same line, Nimrod. You aren't all together, but as far as Nimrod goes, Nimrod's still back there at Genesis 11, and he hangs on to be using Babel. We're scattered. And thus, let me finish that. And you will note, and he began to be a mighty hunter in the earth. Verse 9, he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore, it is said in verse 9, a mighty hunter. Verse 10, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh, in the land of, what's the land again? China. We're still in the same place. Right. Nimrod, they got all scattered, but some stayed right where they were. Where are you, Nimrod? I'm still in China. I'm still in the same place where the tower was started and the city was started. I'm there. Now, and picking up in mind, as we read in the end of verse 10, he's there in the land of Shinar in an awesome, wonderful way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, or if I can, in the light of that, remember history, if you took it, not taking the time, in Genesis chapter 14, the king of Shinar got four other kings, and they attacked Sodom and took Lot captive, chapter 14. And Abraham with his 318 men or whatever it was, 300 trained men, 18, he 318, awesome, Abraham. And he went up and took on those five kings and took Lot back home and all the possessions. Now, but chapter 14, verse 1, the king of Shinar started that to go down. Now, go over with me, please, over to Daniel and to chapter 1. Daniel and chapter 1. And in Daniel in chapter 1, picking up, please, this is the book of Daniel. Remember Daniel, here's Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar in 605 takes captives. He invades Israel. 597, he has to come down again, and he takes more captives. 586, he comes down again, and burns and levels the city. Now, but Daniel, he's right up in the front, 605 BC. Where did they take Daniel, first of all? Nebuchadnezzar went home. Well, where is home, Nebuchadnezzar? Chapter 1, Daniel, verse 2. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. Verse 2. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Where did Daniel go? To Shinar. To Shinar. Back to Shinar. That's Nimrod. Back to Shinar. That's where you are, Nebuchadnezzar. Right. I live in Babylon. City, great city. I live in China. That's where I live. That's China. Uh-huh. Now, having said that, over to Zechariah. Doing very good. Zechariah. Zechariah and chapter 5. And in Zechariah, chapter 5, here's the vision, the fifth vision or whatever. Now, all these different ones are showing what's going to happen in God's outworking of history. So, when we come to chapter 5, sliding down to verse 7. Now, we can't do it, but it's so wonderful, all these things. But here's the... What are we going to have? We're going to have an illustration. God's going to judge Israel, and God's going to judge the nations. And in the process of doing so, chapter 6, verse 7. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead, and this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the epith. So here's this basket. Here's this big basket, epith. We put stuff in. And here's the lead cover, 75 pounds or more. And 75 pounds, here's the lead cover sitting on it. And here's the woman sitting inside of it, going to be carried. She's protected. And the two women carry that basket all the way. What are they carrying? They're carrying the wickedness of man. The wickedness. What did you read in Genesis 6 and 5? And they did wickedly. Wickedly. Evil. Wickedness. Now hang on. Here's this big basket. God, what are you telling? I'm telling you how it's going to end. I'm going to have evil, evil. What are you going to do? I'm going to take wickedness and move it. I'm going to move wickedness from all over. I'm going to move it where? Where are you going to put this wickedness? Where's this wickedness going to find a home? Chapter 5, and picking up in verse 4, then said I to the angel that talked with me, whither do these bear the epith? In other words, they're flying, carrying the woman. Where are they going to carry her? Where are they going to bring wickedness? Verse 11, and he said unto me, to build an house, a place to dwell, right, in the land of, what's the land? China. We're back in China, right? Where's it going to end? Back in China. Because it started. God, the devil's plan never stopped. Hasn't stopped. It's headed one way. It started in the land of China, where the ark and all of that, after the Genesis flood. And what is it about the land of China? We don't want to wander. We don't want to be vagabond, fugitive. We don't want to be scattered. We want to be one people to have one language. That's what we want to do. We want to be oneness, have oneness. You've got to have oneness. The only way we can cope with God is have this oneness. As long as we're divided, We can't unite, and we need to unite. So what are we going to do? We're going to go, and God's going to center and alert and make alive the land of Shinar, as it were, because that's where the Antichrist is going to be. What else is going to be there? Babylon is going to be there. Babylon, Babel, Babylon. Where is Babylon? Go with me. Over with me, please, to Daniel. Daniel in chapter 2 for a moment. Daniel chapter 2, picking up, if I may. And you remember, Nebuchadnezzar is going to have a wonderful vision of his wonderful place. Nebuchadnezzar is, and we've been reading about Nebuchadnezzar's, if every nation needed to bow to Nebuchadnezzar, if they didn't, they were going to get clipped. And that's what we read, and that's what happened to Edom and Moab, and each one of them, they all got, Nebuchadnezzar took them, including Egypt. That's what he did. Nebuchadnezzar's at the top of the pile. He's the head, Daniel chapter 2, in verse chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 31. And thou, O King Cyrus, and behold the great image. What's the image? It's a man. The image is a man. Man. Us men. From head to toe, it's a man, the images. What are we going to do with the image? We're going to worship it. What are you going to do with one tower and one city and one language? We're going to control worship. We're going to control politics. We're going to control our whole life. That's what we're going to do. Now, so therefore in verse 31, and the king's saw his great image. The great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. And verse 32, and this image, the image's head was of fine gold. And remember, Nebuchadnezzar, of all Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, no one ever had control over such a kingdom as Nebuchadnezzar did. He answered to nobody. Other nations had to answer to councils and everything. Nebuchadnezzar didn't answer to anybody except God. So, he's the head of gold, the head. And as you keep reading, you know, verse 32, and the image head was of fine gold, and his breast and his arms of silver, the leg and his thighs of brass. His legs of iron, his feet, part of iron and part of clay. That's where we are, European Union and all of that. Out of that section comes the little horn, Daniel 7, little horn. Comes out of that. Where's it coming out of? And coming out of the European Union. What is that little horn going to do? He's going to move everything and take everything and move it to a oneness, so that Revelation 13:4, who was able to go to war? Who would dare not? Who can avoid worshiping that man? You can't buy or sell without the mark of the beast. Who is going to overcome? It's a tough time. What are you doing, Antichrist? The man of sin, what are you doing? I'm uniting into a oneness. What we lost in Genesis 11, I'm trying to retrieve it What's the purpose of achieving it? So that as we've come to the battlefield, to Armageddon, we've come to the point where I want everyone on the same page when we go against God. I want everyone on the same page. So what are you going to say? Well, God, if you're going to judge us, you'll have nothing left, because we're all going to go. Now, that isn't true, but that's what they think. That's what they hope. That's the purpose of unity. Now, having said that, one man, the man of sin, all about oneness in a unique, wonderful way. Now, having said that, over, if I can, to Revelation, just to jump ahead, just in case. And you remember, God, what are you going to do? Are you going to judge that city? Yes, I am. How are you going to judge it? I'm telling you, Jeremiah 50 and 51. I'm going to tell you how I'm going to do it. I'm going to tell you how I'm going to do it. You're way back here, right? But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Because Babylon, what happened when Babylon exited, when Babylon ended the Israeli as a nation? Israel as a nation went down, and the Gentiles of the Gentile, Luke 21, 24, I think, the times of the Gentiles began, starting with the head of gold. And we didn't do it, but if you did, you follow the head of gold down to the toes of iron and clay. And the iron and clay rebel against God. And then God, what do you say to me? When you rebelled, here's the head of gold, head, all the way down to your toes. It's the same body, same body. So when someone steps on my toes, the message goes all the way to my head. All the way to my head. It's one body. He's going to judge. God is going to judge the United States of Europe, the Antichrist, and all of that. When he judges that, Daniel chapter 2, 44 and 45, when he judges that, he's going to judge them right up, all the way down from iron and silver and to gold. I'm going to go right up and kill and conquer and defeat that whole man image, the whole image of man. Man, it isn't about man. Man, why not? Because all flesh is as what? Is as grass. And the man's pride and pomp and ceremony is as a flower of the field and disappears. They live today and they're gone tomorrow. Wow. It isn't about man. It's about God and his wonderful grace. And the devil tries to make it all about us guys. And it isn't about us guys. It's about God's wonderful, wonderful grace. So here we are in chapter 16 and in verse 19. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto them her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. God is going to judge that system. He tried it once, Genesis 6, but the human heart went right back to it. So he's going to do it again. Only this time, it'll never rise again. He's done. Babylon, that great, look at chapter 18. End verse, chapter 18. Oh, all kinds of ways. Verse 2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, and is become the habitation of demons and a hold of every foul spirit, and a cage to every unclean and hateful bird. Verse 10, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come, and it's going to be to the ground. I'm going to take care of it. I'll take care of it. But you have to understand, God, you have to understand the system. So why spend time on Babylon? Because Babylon's the key. It's the key of the whole thing. The whole ball of history is moving in it. Moving in it. Wow. Now, having said that little bit, keeping that a little bit in front of you if you can, and remember chapter 17 and 18, we'll take a look at it again a little bit later in Jeremiah, but here it is in chapter 17 and 18, if you're still there, is you have the religious on verse chapter 17, you have the political, chapter 18, etc. You have the tower and the city, the tower and the city. You got them. Wow. One religion, one politic. Got it. Now, back over if I can, putting that together a little bit. In the light of that, over to chapter, Exodus chapter 33. And you remember we did a study or two of late on looking at every one of the nations we looked at, all of the nations that we looked at, God has judges them, and they disappear somewhat, but all of them reappear in the kingdom. Why do they reappear in the kingdom? Because of God's mercy. God died for all those people that would be born, and they have to be born. They have to have their opportunity. They have to have the opportunity to say yes and no to God, and they're going to have it. God's going to make sure they have it. Now, so, back over here. I forgot where I was going. Over to Exodus. Exodus and chapter 19. Excuse me. I'm not doing very good. Chapter verse. Isn't it good that one understands all this? You know, it's all there written for you in black and white print. So no matter what you do with it, go back and read it like it says. That's what you do. You read the wrong thing, read it again. So, Exodus 33, verse 19. And he said, I will make all my goodness. This is with Moses, remember? Moses said, I don't want to go anywhere unless you go. That's a wonderful thing. I don't want to go anywhere, God, if you don't go there. And we aren't, as a nation, we aren't going anywhere without you. That's all. There's no way we're going to get away, make it without you. So you got to go with us. You got to give us grace. And therefore, when you come down, and Moses asked for a little extra, that's because he was exposed to the much of God and God's wonderful person. So God's wonderful person excited Moses. Excited of God, you did that. Boy, what else could you do? What else are you like? Wow. Now, chapter 33 of Exodus 19, and he said, I will make all my goodness. Remember what Moses wanted. Moses wanted, verse 17, And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know that thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. That's what I want to see. And, but in answer to it, and, verse 19, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy unto whom I will show mercy." God said, "Yeah, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. What I'm going to do, though, I'm going to do it. And when I want to be gracious, I'll be gracious." That's the word we looked at last week. Gracious and mercy. We looked at that last week. Now, so I'll be merciful. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will be merciful, and show mercy on whom I will show mercy. So God did. And Moses, what did he? Now God answered his wonderful prayer. And God stuck him behind in a cave and then covered him. He covered him so he couldn't see. That's wonderful. Why? Why'd you do that, God? Because. And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face thou shalt not see." I'm going to cover you, and when I'm already gone by, and it's all over, I'll take my hand away, and you can see the glory that's left. Because I passed by, you'll see the glory. You can't see me. God's invisible. And that's why Moses is so wonderful. Because Moses lived, as we shared the other day, Moses had no Bible. He had nothing except Pharaoh and all the benefits of Egypt. And there was God and all the idolatry all over the place. And Moses saw him. How did you ever get through it, Moses? I saw him who is invisible. Hebrews chapter 11. I saw him. You can't see him. I did. I knew he was there. I just knew he was there. Now, having said that, and our time is gone, would you pick up, please, to see in chapter 33, since it's gone, I hope you're getting a little bit. It comes out easy. It's all wonderful, all stuck together like this. All kinds of things. So, now, in Exodus chapter 33, and God's, what are you going to say, God? In verse 8, verse 12. "Now therefore I pray thee, if I found grace in thy sight, show me thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this is thy nation. Consider, you're my Father. You're my Savior. Consider, God, as I get down the corridor of time, tonight, tomorrow, next week, consider, God, that I'm yours, and I don't want to go forward. I don't want to go out of the building." I could say that. You could say that. "I don't want to go out of the building without you." How's that? "I don't want to go out of the building without you." Moses said, "I don't want to go forward another step with all these people without you." Got the idea? Wow. Well,